Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on home remedies right after this. You know, we Americans are the most litigious people in the world, and we believe in our lawyers with a kind of religious fervor. And we've been taught from early childhood that he who represents himself in court has a fool for a client. But what would you say if a plumber said that? What if your plumber said, he who fixes his own pipes has a fool for a client? What if a carpenter said, he who fixes his own steps has a fool for a client? Well, doesn't our common sense tell us that a plumber or a carpenter who couldn't fix his own pipes or fix his own steps is incompetent? You know, my common sense tells me that a lawyer who can't represent himself in court has to be just as incompetent as that plumber or carpenter. Well, listen to this. Here's James Nielsen. He's a professor at the Hastings Law School. Here's what he said about it. He said, quote, it is a fact that a student can graduate from this, the fourth largest law school in the United States, without ever having written a pleading, a contract, a will, a promissory note, or a deed. He said it's worse than that. Most of the students graduate from this law school without ever having seen a real honest-to-God pleading, contract, will, promissory note, or a deed. And a student can graduate without having set foot in a courtroom, without ever having spoken to or on behalf of a person in need of advice or counsel. And a student can graduate without once being exposed to the operation of the rules of court. Now, whatever else may be said about this license issued by the state bar, let it be said that for these students and for their clients, that it is a cruel hoax. That's Professor James Nielsen of the Hastings Law School. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, while you're at it, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and free of charge. Now, our school, Courtroom Strategy and Procedure, is available on compact disc for adult home education. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. Again, that's georgegordon.org, then go to the archives page. Hey, I'm reviewing a book here. It's a big one, big, thick book. It's an encyclopedia is what it is, Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. It's written by a fellow named Vance Farrell. It's not the only one around, but I'm going to rate it about a 1 in 20, and it's a good one. It's 8.5 by 11, and it's got the cures for about 500 common ailments. You know, common things today, I thought I'd pick up two things here, smoking and drinking. Now, I smoked and drank, and so I'm an experienced smoker, and I quit smoking. And I'm an experienced drinker, and I quit drinking. And if I can do it, I think anybody can. Many people have problems with it, and they've got ads on TV, you know, if you'll put this patch on, or you take this Nicoderm, or if you do this, that, and another thing. The pharmaceutical industry, you know, they're into it hot and heavy. They're not there to get you to quit smoking. They're there to sell you the product that makes you believe that you can quit smoking, and then when you fail, they come back and they'll sell you another round of it. Or if they don't sell you another round of it, they'll sell you a different brand of it. Now, Americans, at one time, there was about 40% of us that smoked, and now it's about 20%. About one out of every five Americans is smoking. When you're young, you're invincible, so you got to go out and smoke and drink, especially when you're in college. And then when you get out of college, you're hooked. You see, this stuff's addictive. Now, once you've got this addiction, and now it is pretty tough to quit, and I went through that addiction, and let me tell you, it's pretty damn powerful. So, you know, you've heard your old-timers, they told you, you know, well, if you don't smoke, don't start. Well, that isn't going to happen. You know, all these young people out here, they got to go out and live life to the full, so they're going to go out and they're going to smoke. And if you're already smoking, see, they got you. They got you addicted to this, just like heroin, cocaine, and marijuana. Now, some people will say, well, it's not addictive, you know. I think that's BS. I did it, and I thought it was pretty damn addictive. I couldn't quit. Now, you got to have a motive to quit. If you don't have a motive, you're never going to get off cigarettes or booze. So with me, it was Reader's Digest back in, I don't know, 1962, 3, 4, along in there. I read an article in there about tobacco causes lung cancer and 55 other diseases, or at least it's linked to them, and whether it causes them or not was a question, and it may still be, but the moral of the story is that smoking is associated is something different than causes. But, you know, if you take a look at 100 people, 100 people, 10 of them get cancer, and 9 out of 10 of them smoke, there's an association. It doesn't mean that 9 of those 10 people got cancer because they smoked. It means that 9 people that smoke get cancer. It's a higher percentage than the general public. So I looked at that, and I said, well, that's probably good for R.J. Reynolds, but it's probably not good for me, so I decided to quit. So I quit cold turkey. I just said I ain't smoking again, and let me tell you, the crave, the urge, the desire to smoke, it's tough. And it's tough for 3 days, and that's what this author says. He used the same term, 3 days. He said, if you can stay off of them for 5 days, you can stay off of them forever. And he's got a little story here, and I thought I'd share the story with you, because there's a modality in here. There's vitamins, there's herbs that you can take. I didn't know about them, and I didn't take them, but it'll help you with the urge. And what you've got in your body is you've got nicotine stored in your fat. Over the years, you've been smoking for so long, now you got this nicotine in it. Now, this nicotine is an addictive drug, and you need it. You know, once you get used to this, you got to have it, and then you got to have more and more of it. So when I first started smoking, you know, I could smoke one cigarette and maybe a day, and then maybe a week later, and I got a pack of cigarettes, maybe I'd smoke another cigarette or two, and so on. But pretty soon, it got to the point where I was a pack-a-day smoker. Now, I didn't go over a pack a day, but there are some people that do. And the people that go over a pack a day are people that smoke filter cigarettes, and those filter cigarettes filter out the nicotine. So one of the biggest boons to revenue in the tobacco industry was to tell you, well, yeah, we're going to, you got tar and you got nicotine, but listen, we'll filter that out. Well, boys and girls, if you had a perfect cigarette filter, all you would be smoking is hot air. If you could filter out all the tar, all the nicotine, all the good stuff that's in there, which is the reason why you're smoking, you're not smoking for hot air. Your lungs are not cold. That's not your problem. What your problem is that your body is craving more of this drug called nicotine, and you got to get more of it. So the solution to this three-pack-a-day thing is to start smoking Roytan cigars. There is so much tar and so much nicotine in cigar smoke that you only smoke one cigar a day. You can get more tar and nicotine out of one cigar than you can three packages of cigarettes. And they've got some tobacco out there for real hardcore smokers. And they're called Tuscanos or Tuscadados cigars. They used to call them crooks. That's a little black cigar. Oh, my God, you talk about strong. Even a smoker. You take one heavy drag off of one of those cigars now, it'll choke you up. And that's because it's got real stuff to it. And then instead of smoking three packs a day, you know, and at $3-4 a pack, you're smoking one cigar. So it's a lot cheaper, and then it's a better way to get that nicotine hit. Now, that's what your problem is your body is adjusted to a level of nicotine that you have to maintain in order to maintain your stability. My Uncle Carol was an alcoholic. I can remember when he got out of the Army, you know, in 1945, he came home, he was drinking pretty heavy. And he died in 1953, so he only lived 8 years after he got out of the Air Force in 1945. And I watched him for that 8 years. And during that 8-year period, he got to drinking more and more. And then after a while, see, you can't afford to drink whiskey. So then they get on to wine. And then this wine, see, is pretty cheap. You can get a lot of alcohol for fewer bucks drinking wine. So he was drinking a gallon of wine a day by 1953, a gallon of wine a day. When he drank it in a tumblerfuls. I mean, he just poured a glass of it, and there's 12 ounces to a glass. And he'd drink that sucker down. And then everybody marveled. Now, if you want to test that, you just try drinking a gallon of water a day. You fill up a gallon jug with water, and you start drinking that. And if you can drink a whole gallon of water in a day, now you're doing something. I can't drink a gallon of water in a day. I've tried it many times. They say, you got to drink a gallon of water a day. Well, then I'm going to die because I can't get that in. But my Uncle Carol, by God, now that guy, he could drink a gallon of wine a day. I don't know if he drank any water, but boy, he could sure put the wine away. Now, when he didn't have wine, he would get the shakes. I mean, that guy would be shaking uncontrollably. Now, we could all see in 1953 that this guy had a real problem. Nobody knew what to do for him. Nobody knew what to do about it. Now, today, of course, you know, we got places we send people to dry them out, they say. Well, back in those days, no, I didn't know of any place. So one day he just fell over dead. Cirrhosis of the liver got him. I think drugs got him along with the alcohol. And he had a heart attack, and so he died. Now, when you get to alcoholism or you get to tobaccoism, you know, to such a level, you know, that you're dependent upon it, and then you decide you want to quit, if you think you're just going to quit, you know, you've got another guest coming. You're probably going to need a little help. And I think that's where this encyclopedia comes in. So on page 561, he's got an article in here on how to quit tobacco. And on page 563, how to quit alcohol, I read these two articles, and I said, hey, I think that makes pretty good sense. Listen to what he says about tobacco. He says, the information in each of these two sections is helpful for both those who want to quit smoking and those who want to quit drinking alcoholic beverages. The principles are very similar. If you want to quit one of them, it would be well to read both sections. The information below was taken from two books by the author, You Can Quit Smoking and You Can Quit Alcohol. So this author, the guy's name again now is Vance Ferrell. His last name is F-E-R-R-E-L-L. He's written two books. Now, You Can Quit Smoking and You Can Quit Alcohol. So if you want to get the books, you can do that. Now, he's condensed down this article to give you the general drift of, well, here's what you do. And when I read this, I said, well, that's what I did. I didn't read his books. I didn't know Jack Diddley Squat, but I just quit cold turkey. And, yeah, it's tough. And you're going to probably need a little help to do that. But my wife did it. I did it. I can probably think 10, 15 people that I've known of that have quit cold turkey, quit smoking. And if I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. There's nothing special about me. But you've got an addiction, and that addiction is tough. And it takes some willpower. You're going to have, that's what I said earlier, so you've got to have a reason to quit. If you're just thinking, well, I think I'll just quit, you're gonna do it and fall back in it. That's what's going to happen. That isn't going to happen. You're not going to get off of it. So he starts off, he says, how to quit tobacco. The best way to quit smoking is to stop all at once. None of this tapering off business. It's better to have a few rough days and be through with it than it is to drag it out for weeks and months. That's slow torture, and torture is no fun. So you need to decide to quit, and you need to do it with a positive enthusiasm. You can't be negative. Thinking how much you miss it. Be thankful, rather, about how you got rid of the habit. After quitting, the hardest part comes in the first 3 days, but by the end of 5 days, the majority of people find the craving definitely is less or it's gone altogether. Continue for 10 days, and then you've made it. So here's a guy who says it's going to take you about 3 to 5 days cold turkey. Then it's going to take you 10 days on top of that, and that's 15 days. That's a half a month, 2 weeks. Now, I don't remember 2 weeks. I remember the first 3 days. That was hell. And when I got to the end of 3 days, I said, well, if I can do it for 3 days, I can do it forever. And so I've never taken another weed from that point on. Now, again, you know, different people, different strokes for different folks, they say. And I'm an old-timey smoker that quit, and I did it cold turkey. That's what this guy's recommending. That's what I would recommend. I hear about this Nicoderm and patch this and patch that and take these pills and do this, that. I've never seen anybody succeed doing that. I told you about, I could probably come up with 10 or 15 people that I know that quit. Every one of those guys that I know has been successful just quit cold turkey. But every one of us, when we quit, had a reason. I mean, we were serious when we decided to quit smoking. And you got to say to yourself, I choose not to smoke. The power of the will is important. It's the key to victory. Keep repeating your decision throughout the day from morning till night. The more you say it, the more you mean it. Now, you know the issues that are involved, the future for yourself and for your loved ones. And you know what a miserable life it is to smoke and have it constantly getting in your eyes, cost you a lot of money, the craving that it places where smoking isn't permitted, and you know it's going to shorten your life. Now, the facts are out there, and you hear them all the time. Cancer of the throat, lung cancer, emphysema, hardening of the arteries, slowing of mental activity, reflex responses, cholesterol buildup, reduced heart action, physical endurance goes down, blood pressure problems. Just one statistic, Dr. Harold F. Dorn studied 200,000 military veterans and found that the death rate among all types of cigarette smokers was 58% higher than among non-smokers. And there are over 2,000 known harmful chemicals in tobacco. 400 of those chemicals are known to be carcinogenic. Now, these are the facts. So make a decision to quit and make a list of reasons why you are quitting. Read over the list while you're in the process of quitting, and then learn how to depend upon prayer. Only God can give you the help that you need, and there are no atheists in foxholes. And you'd better not become one now. This is a crisis in your life, and you need God's help. Now, if you can find someone who will pray with you and for you, someone who is a real friend and not just a critic, call your friend on the phone and talk to him when things get tough. Carry with you some Bible promises, such as, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, in Philippians 4:13. But thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 15:57. Now, when you believe that these promises were written just for you and your need, just now repent and then repeat them often. Now, get rid of your tobacco products, including ashtrays and all the rest. If you've got a carton of cigarettes that you keep in the freezer that you've got upstairs, you know, you're not going to. So I had about a half a carton, as I recall, five packages. And I woke up one day and I said, you know, I think I'll quit. And if I keep these weeds around here, I probably won't be able to quit. So I took them and burned them. I threw them into the oil heater. Hey, normally don't throw stuff into the oil heater. I did. I burned them up. And in those days, cigarettes were 30 cents a pack. That was a buck and a half. So back in 1963, you know, a buck and a half was about like $15, $20 today. So I just burned up $15, $20. And I said, I'm going to quit. And I had about four or five in my shirt pocket. Threw them right in there with them. And did it about 9 o'clock in the morning. And so I hadn't had a cigarette up to that moment in time. Threw them all into the fire, burned them. And I'm on my way. I started my process. And like I said, it was kind of hell for 3 days. But I didn't pray. I didn't have anybody praying for me. I didn't know anything about that time. But again, if you get rid of your tobacco products, including the ashtrays, you know, around your house, in your car, you get rid of them. That cigarette lighter you got in the car, throw it away. Just look at the empty hole in the car. There's no cigarette lighter. Stop carrying matches. Get rid of your lighter. Don't carry anything with you. No way to smoke. I got no matches, got no smokes, got no ashtray, got no cigarette lighter in the car. You know, when you get serious, you'll do that. Now, the $15-$20, you know, going in, that's not wasted money. It's a psychological booster. This is a psychological problem, and it's mostly mental. You think about that. Now, every time you finished eating, you had to light up a cigarette as soon as you get through eating. All right, now when you get through eating, we're going to do something else. We're not going to light up a cigarette. Now, here's an interesting thing. I didn't know this, but he said that this cigarette boosts your blood sugar. It boosts your blood sugar. And that's why you get this thrill, this kick from the cigarette. And so he says, now what you do in its place is you start carrying gum and start carrying candy. And you pop a candy in your mouth so that you can raise your blood sugar, get the same high off of the candy instead of off of the cigarette. He goes on, he says, get rid of all your tobacco products, including all the ashtrays and the rest. Stay away from other smokers as much as possible for the next few weeks. I didn't do that either. My partner, Leo, you know, he was a smoker too. We'd get up and go out to the barn, and we'd be out there in the barn, and he'd be blowing cigarettes. Well, he smoked cigars. He'd blow cigar smoke in my face. I don't think he wanted me to quit. And then when he did that, it actually stiffened my resolve. And I said, well, let me show you this. Now, two or even three times a day, take a warm bath. 15 or 20 minutes at a time, relax and enjoy it. That'll help break the poisons or soak the poisons out quicker. I didn't know this at the time. I wasn't taking baths, but you've got all of this nicotine in your body. It's in your tissue. And you need to get that out. Now, there's a number of ways to get it out. In a hot bath, it could be a hot steam bath. It makes you sweat. And when you sweat, your skin is your biggest organ in your body, biggest elimination organ in your body. And what you need to do is to get all of that nicotine out of your body. The faster you get it out, then the faster you're going to get over smoking. And he's got a number of ways here to expedite this getting the tobacco or getting the nicotine out of your body, which I didn't know anything about. If I was going to do this thing again, I think I'd get scoped out here and I'd start detoxification. Now, there's ways to detox. If you go into your local health food store and you tell them I need to detoxify my body, mainly your colon, I think I'd do the colon detoxification, colon cleanse first. And if you did that colon cleanse, and you at the same time you quit smoking over here, you will be actively moving the nicotine that's stored in your body fat out of your body. And the faster you get that out of there, the faster you're going to recover. Now, two or even three times a day, you take a warm or a hot bath. Now, since you're going to be tense at this time, the baths will help relax you. Frankly, while you're smoking, you were tense all the time. And if you were able to take it and then have no cardiac problems, hot showers, hot baths, steam baths, best of all, will get the nicotine out quicker. It's a known fact that the quicker the yellow nicotine leaves your body, the quicker your addiction goes with it. Now, when you go off tobacco, you're likely to find that your sweat at night will yellow your sheets, and that's good. You want the nicotine out of your body. After the bath or shower, take a cold mitten friction. In this encyclopedia, this water therapy is described on page 523 and 524. Every time you crave a smoke or a drink, begin slow, deep breathing. Slowly take in as much air as you can, then exhale it very slowly. Repeat your resolve. I choose not to smoke. I choose not to drink. Now, as often as you can, you go outside in the open air and breathe deeply. And that's because there's energy and fresh air and is helping to clean you out. You start drinking water. You want to get as much water through you as possible, 6 or 8 glasses of water a day. You want to do this between meals. If necessary, keep a record of how much water you're drinking. This helps flush out the nicotine and tars and poisons. Don't take any alcoholic beverages at the same time, none at all. They'll cloud your mind, weaken your willpower, and you'll go back to smoking. You need to eat lots of fruit and vegetables. Fresh fruit is especially important now. There was a fellow one time who hitched a ride across country. He slipped into a refrigerator car and accidentally got locked in. Fortunately for him, the refrigerator car was full of oranges. By the time he got out, 6 days later, he found that he had no craving for cigarettes. That's because for 6 days he had nothing to eat but oranges. Eating oranges took away the craving. The vitamin C in the oranges also helps destroy the poisons in your body, lessening the craving. Now that's a pretty good piece of advice there. Now my grandmother smoked, and she was as wrinkled as a prune. By the time I came along, by the time I was about 8-10 years old, she was in her mid-60s. She died when she was 88. She smoked a pack of Camel Studs every day. And I mean, that woman was a smoker. Now, when I knew her, she was wrinkled. I mean, really wrinkled. You just think of the most wrinkled person that you ever run across, and add about 100% of that, and that was my granny. Now, I wondered why she was so wrinkled up like that, and that's because the nicotine destroys the vitamin C in your body. Nicotine destroys the vitamin C, and conversely, the vitamin C cleans out the nicotine. Isn't that special? So what you want is all the vitamin C that you can get at the same time. Again, I didn't do that. I didn't know anything about it, but this guy's pointing out these are all helpful little hints. One, you drink all the water you can. You take all the vitamin C you can. Now, if you take too much vitamin C, you're going to get the runs, and you'll get diarrhea. So about the time the diarrhea comes on, you're taking about all the vitamin C you can, but the vitamin C is detoxifying your body. And so what happened to my grandmother, she smoked. She wasn't taking any extra measures of vitamin C, and the nicotine destroyed the vitamin C in her body. Without the vitamin C, the elasticity in your skin diminishes, and it wrinkles up. So, you know, if you're a person who doesn't want to get wrinkles, then you don't want to smoke. So tuck that one away in your heart. All right, vitamin C, get all that you can. We're at the halfway point here, so let me give you a reminder that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download it right there. georgegordon.org, archives page, download. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements, these recommendations that we give, that doesn't mean that the authors, the publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing a book. It's actually called The Natural Remedies Encyclopedia by Vance Farrell, published by Harvest Time Books. I gave you the address the other day. Let me do it again in case you don't want to buy it from Baker Creek. They're located. It's published by Pilgrim's Books, Beersheba Springs, Tennessee, 37305. Again, that's Pilgrim's Books, Beersheba Springs, Tennessee, 37305. Beersheba is spelled B-E-E-R-S-H-E-B-A, one word. Now, I got the book from heirloomseeds.com. That's spelled H-E-I-R-L-O-O-M, seeds.com. That's Baker Creek Seeds in Mansfield, Missouri. That's where we get our open pollinated old-timey heirloom seeds. Again, that's called Baker Creek Seeds, Mansfield, Missouri. 600 pages, 8.5 by 11. Now I've selected out, it's over 600 pages, I've selected out some sections in here to pique your curiosity. And the one I'm covering here today is called How to Quit Smoking. Now I quit smoking and I used this guy's formula. I quit cold turkey, but much of this I didn't know anything about. Had I known about it, probably would have made it a lot easier for me. Now different people have different levels or different thresholds of willpower. Now this nicotine is an addictive drug, and I was addicted to it, and I had to kick the addiction. And every one of you that smokes, you're going to have to kick the addiction. And it's not painful, but it's discomforting. It is not comfortable. I don't know, I didn't suffer any physical pain when I quit smoking. No pain involved in it. But the discomfort that comes from it, you know, it's like being cold. You know, it's not going to kill you, but it's not comfortable. Or you're too hot and you're sweating and you'd like to cool off, but you can't. It's uncomfortable. The heat's not going to kill you, but it doesn't feel good. Now picture that going on for 3 to 5 days. In my case, as I recall, it was 3 days. This guy says maybe five. Then he says it takes another 10 days to finally kick the habit. You'll be over it in the first 3 to 5, but it takes 15 days to get this nicotine, this drug, out of your body. I didn't know that either. When I got past 3 days, I said, hell, if I can do it 3 days, I can do it forever. I did, and I have. All right, now he says, you may find that you may gain some weight, but getting rid of tobacco is far more important than the few pounds that you gain. You're increasing your willpower, and you'll later be able to use it to lessen the amount of food that you eat. If you can get your weight back down, you know, if you want to get your weight down, you can quit. Yeah, that's another toughie. You know, eating is a habit that you get into, and I like to eat. I think most people do. Now, every once in a while, you ought to fast. Now, once a year, we have a thing called the Day of Atonement, but in addition to that, if you would fast 3 days a month, you only eat 27 days and you fast three, then you'd never have a health problem. You wouldn't be overweight. Now, the Bible talks about, the Scripture talks about fasting. How often you fast doesn't tell you that. I've talked to people from time to time. If you can quit smoking, you can quit eating. Now, there are sensors that are in your stomach. Now, here's what makes you overeat while we're on the subject here. The food that we eat today doesn't have enough micronutrients, particularly minerals. And it's these micronutrients, the minerals in your stomach, that tells you to stop eating. Since your food doesn't have enough of that in there, you eat until it reaches the nutrient level that tells you I'm full. Meanwhile, you've taken in a whole bunch of extra calories. That's what your problem is. If you'll take vitamin and mineral supplements, you'll find that that'll tell you to shut off the food and then you don't eat as much. All right, now same thing now when we're talking about cigarettes, tobacco, something else, you know, you get used to this. Mainly it's psychological, it's a habit. And you get into the psychological habit, and then you've got to keep maintaining it. Like, I always had to smoke after I finished eating. Just a habit. Today I can finish eating and I don't have to have a smoke. But there was a time when I did. So part of this is psychological, and you're going to have to develop a psychological modality for dealing with it. If you can quit smoking, you can quit eating. Just that simple. So if you're smoking and you're fat, as soon as you quit smoking, you'll be able to control your diet, control what you eat. Now, you need to walk outdoors for 15 to 30 minutes after each meal. So every time you get finished eating, instead of lighten up, get up and go out for a walk. Breathe deeply as you go. Don't just sit after a meal. This is the time of day when you especially want to smoke. Instead, get outside. Open up the curtains, raise the windows, let in the purifying sunlight and air. There's tobacco odor all over your house. Get it out. That's important. Avoid mustard, spices, pepper, vinegar, ketchup, hot sauce, chili, and horseradish. These foods tend to arouse cravings. When it's hot or cold, leave it alone. Okay? So here's just one paragraph. He says, avoid mustard, spices, pepper, vinegar, ketchup, hot sauce, chili, and horseradish. These foods tend to arouse cravings. So if that's the case, I didn't know that. I probably created a lot of cravings that I could have avoided if I'd left the mustard and spices and pepper, vinegar, ketchup, hot sauce, and chili and horseradish alone. Skip all sweets, pastries, cake, ice cream, chocolate during the first 10 days at least. Avoid rich, sugar-heavy desserts. Heavy smokers often like highly spiced foods. They frequently eat a heavy meat diet plus gravy, fried foods, and other rich foods. Avoid these if you want success in kicking the smoking habit. If you're starting to get squeamish, just ask yourself, well, just how serious am I about this? Now, if you're not serious and you're just talking about quitting, you know, you can forget that didn't going to happen. You've got to be motivated, and if you're not motivated, it ain't going to happen. I've talked to a lot of people who say, well, I've quit smoking about 20 times. It's easy. I can quit smoking anytime I want, but they can't stay off of it. And they've never gotten all of the tobacco out of their system. They haven't been serious enough to do it. Now, I don't care whether people smoke or don't. In fact, if you said to me, hey, would you give me a ride down to the Circle K store to buy a pack of cigarettes? I'd say, you want me to pick them up for you? I'll bring you back what brand you smoke. I don't care. But by the same token, if I run across some guy, he says, geez, I'd like to get off of weeds. How do I do that? Now, if you're starting to get squeamish, just ask yourself, how serious am I about doing this? Don't use fish, fowl, meat, tea, coffee, or cola beverages. The uric acid, ammonia, purines, and other wastes in meat is what gives it that special flavor. Now, it also stimulates your nerves and increases your craving for nicotine and alcohol. The caffeine in tea, coffee, and cola drinks will also trigger your nerves so that in a matter of minutes you'll have an uncontrollable desire to light up. So now, when you want to quit something that's addictive, suppose you're on cocaine. Maybe you're on heroin. And they say that quitting nicotine is tougher than quitting heroin. What I didn't know until I picked up this encyclopedia is that there are certain things that we do, like eating fish, fowl, meat, tea, coffee, and cola. It creates uric acid, ammonia, purines, and other wastes, and it stimulates your nerves and increases your craving. So here you are, you're trying to quit nicotine, and you've got a craving to start with. Now you're eating these foods over here that stimulate your nerve endings and create craving. Again, I didn't know this. That's why I thought I'd bring it to your attention. I think that probably 100% of people that smoke, or they're on cocaine, heroin, marijuana, just pick out anything that you want. When you get ready to quit, you say, okay, I'm going to quit, and so you quit the heroin, but you keep on eating things that creates a desire. It creates this craving. Things like mustard, spices, pepper, vinegar, ketchup, sauce, hot sauce, chili, and horseradish. Those condiments stimulate your cravings. You want to quit alcohol, and so we're going to stimulate all of your cravings. That doesn't make any sense. And I've never heard of anybody that's ever brought this up and said, wait a minute, what causes these cravings? Let me repeat it again. These cravings are caused by mustard, spices, pepper, vinegar, ketchup, hot sauce, chili, and horseradish. And if you're going to continue on with those, then you're feeding your cravings, and pretty soon you say, oh my God, I got to have another drink. Oh my God, I got to have another shot of heroin. I got to have another cigarette. And if we could get off the cravings, that's what your main problem is. And for 3 days, it's going to be tough enough as it is. He also points this out. He says you need to get the nicotine that's in your body out. Well, think about that. Before you got onto smoking, you had no nicotine in your body. You didn't have any particular craving for cigarettes. In fact, the first time I lit up, I was coughing. I couldn't smoke. My body rejected it, and I had to force myself to smoke, and I did that because my buddies were smoking, see? And they called me chicken. They said, hey, they laughed at me. Well, pretty soon, little by little, I got to where my body could tolerate the smoke. All right, then over some time, my body built up nicotine. The nicotine gave me the rush that made the smoking desirable. Then, when my body built up a certain level of nicotine, I found I've got this craving for smoking. Now I've got to smoke to keep the craving down. That's where they got you hooked. That took time to get you hooked. Well, now, they didn't have you hooked when you didn't have any nicotine stored in your body fat. Now your body's full of nicotine, and you're trying to maintain that level. Your body says, hey, I got to have more nicotine. I got a nicotine shortage here. And that's exactly right. The faster you can get the nicotine out of your body, the better. So, hence, deep breathing, steam baths, hot baths, anything that will make you sweat will help you get that nicotine out of your body, and the sooner you can do that, the better. So if you've got a hot tub, go get in the hot tub. Sweat it out. You want to be drinking as much water, as much liquid as you can get in you. You want to take as much vitamin C as you can tolerate. Now, I want to point out to you that vitamin C is going to loosen your stool. It's going to give you diarrhea at some point in time. So before you get diarrhea to the level that's going to kill you, you got to back off, you got to stop. You want to take as much vitamin C as you can. The vitamin C counteracts the nicotine. In the same way that the nicotine destroys the vitamin C, what you're going to do here is you're going to build up your vitamin C level in your body, which is going to detoxify. It's going to force more and more of that nicotine and squeeze it out of your cells. Now, I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't read that in this encyclopedia. Now, all of these little points, all these little tips over here are available to you. You can get a copy of the book now from heirloomseeds.com. So once you get on the internet and go to heirloomseeds.com, that's called Baker Creek Seeds. They're located in Mansfield, Missouri. they carry the book. All right, going on, he says, a lot of sugar in the diet makes you more jumpy and irritable. That's because it steals B vitamins and minerals, especially calcium. Calcium helps strengthen and calm your nerves. So don't try to solve any major problems just now. Make life as pleasant as possible. Keep on the positive side. Be thankful for your blessings and name them all. Thank God for help and ongoing victory. Your prayers will be a sham if you stop praying after you have gotten the victory over tobacco. Avoid all sedatives and stimulants. Don't be taking sleeping pills, drinking booze, or taking stimulants. Tobacco raises your blood sugar from 2.5 to 3 minutes, and this is part of its addictive power. So if necessary, carry a few pieces of honey drop candy in your pocket that you formerly kept your cigarette pack in. If the going gets rough, chew on candy. Do not go where people are drinking liquor. Avoid your old friends who like to drink. Gentian root is an herb that can be chewed. It removes the taste for tobacco. Chamomile is another helpful herb. You can chew the blossoms between meals when you want to smoke. The most important part of this program is the earnest prayer to God. Commit your life to God, and your future will be much happier than your past. A sweat bath once a week will help eliminate the nicotine from your system. Keep in the open air as much as possible. Now, he says a sweat bath once a week. Hell, if you've got access to a hot tub or a sweat bath, I'd take one or two a day. I've got a hot tub out here. That thing will make you perspire in short order. You heat it up to about 104 or 5 degrees. You get in there and you sit in a hot tub for about 15, 20 minutes. And you'll have sweat coming out in every pore in your body, especially all those that are above the waterline. So a sweat bath once a week seems like to me to be pretty tepid. If I could do it every day, I would. Now keep your mind occupied. When you're tempted, repeat through the power of prayer. I choose not to smoke. Now, when you need to, you phone your prayer partner. Carrot sticks or raw celery at the close of a meal will lessen the craving. Chewing raisins helps somewhat. Carry a small package of raisins in your pocket. You'll notice that every time the craving comes, it'll keep weakening more quickly in a few minutes. That's another point. You get this craving to light up, but the craving goes away after a little while. So what you need to do is to get past the craving. So that's when you want to take your candy. That's when you want to call your buddy. Then once that craving is passed, well, then it's passed. Now you can go about your business. But it keeps coming back, keeps coming back, keeps coming back. And that's that addictive power of tobacco, alcohol, well, any drug for that matter. So now, knowing that in advance, and when you finish eating, you chew on a carrot, or you eat some raisins, you raise your blood sugar by eating a piece of candy. When friends tell you that you can't do it, then don't just become angry, but pleasantly tell them to wait and see. They only tell you that because they don't think they could do it. Take the initiative and tell them they need to give it up too. That's where my friend Leo was. See, he couldn't quit. And he didn't want to see me do it because that would show him that he was weak-willed. Now, again, the word that I get is that getting off of cigarettes is harder than getting off of heroin. If you saw the movie, The Man with the Golden Arm, that was Frank Sinatra, Man with the Golden Arm. That guy locked himself in a room, and then he practically tore the place apart. In order to, you know, I didn't have that kind of problem with cigarettes. Now, that might have been exaggerated for the purposes of the movie, but it tells you a little story that getting off of an addictive drug is tough. And they say now getting off of nicotine is going to be harder than heroin. If that's the case, well, then just get after it. Now, if you know that you're going to be in a situation where people are smoking, then prepare for it. Meet it in a positive manner. Settle it that you're not a timid rabbit. Your days of slavery to the tobacco leaf are over. Vitamin C is a great help for cutting the smoking habit. Take vitamin C tablets with water or juice. Vitamin B complex is also important, so take a B complex supplement at every meal. Hot water with lemon juice is helpful. Go on a fast for a day or two at a time, drinking only hot water and lemon juice. That'll clean the poisons out faster. Remember that the quicker you get the nicotine out of your body, the quicker they're eliminated, the quicker the craving will dissipate and go. Keep positive, keep busy doing something, keep praying, keep thinking of the brighter future for you and your loved ones. Now that you've kicked the habit, live for others. Find ways to bring more happiness into more people's lives that are around you. Now, there are principles on how to quit alcohol below that'll help you quit smoking, so be sure to read them. Now, I'll take that up next time. We'll take a look at this thing called alcohol. I thought both of these articles were dynamite. And the average Joe six-pack out here, you know, he says to himself, I can't quit smoking, I can't quit drinking. And the answer is, yeah, you can. And there are some simple, inexpensive modalities that can help you do that, that nobody else is telling you about. They're telling you, take this Nicoderm patch, do this, do that. They're selling you a product. Quitting smoking doesn't cost you anything. If you know, what the hell does it cost you to stop eating mustard, spices, pepper, vinegar, ketchup, hot sauce, chili, and horseradish? That don't cost you anything. And those are foods that create the craving for the tobacco or create the craving for the alcohol. So here we are trying to give up this addictive habit, and we're eating the very foods that create the cravings. I know it's crazy, but that's nobody ever says anything. Nobody ever tells you, hey, you can't do that. All right, so this book again now, it's called the Home Remedies Encyclopedia, 600 pages plus, and it's alphabetized in the index. You can just look at whatever subject matter you're looking at. I picked one out the other day, breasts. There's about 10 or 15 articles on all kinds of breasts, you know, for all you ladies out there, whether you're a nursing mother or you've got a lump in your breast or whatever the hell it is. And there's a solution for it, a natural herbal solution for it. And I don't care if you go to the doctor, that's fine. You know, if that's what you want to do, get after it. But when you go to the doctor, can you know, if you've tried to stop smoking 15 times and you have failed, the reason is because nobody ever told you that you're feeding your cravings. That's why you can't give up and quit. And this guy says if you'll quit feeding your cravings, the cravings will go away. The sooner you get the nicotine out of you, the sooner the cravings dissipate. This is called Baker Creek Seeds, Mansfield, Missouri. I don't have a zip code. Heirloomseeds.com. We'll get you there. Heirloomseeds.com. All right, I'm out of time. I've got to give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. There's the signal. Says we've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.